Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Paul Lancour, in for Rachel Miro. A record number of Latinos will head to Congress next year. 31 Latinos were elected nationwide in November, with more in California than any other state. KQED's Amy Isaacson reports analysts consider that a step toward more equal representation that's good not just for Latinos, but for everyone.
In 1976, Concords made their first commercial flights. Apple Computer Company was formed.
I'm here with an average American homemaker with her own Apple personal computer. Jill, do you use your Apple for household budgeting?
Actually, I'm working in gold futures.
And a Latino congressman from California, Edward Roybal, founded the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. There were just three members.
When he spoke to then-Speaker Tip O'Neill, the speaker jokingly asked him if they were all going to be meeting in a telephone booth.
Lucille Roybal Allard is Roybal's daughter. She was the first Mexican-American woman from California elected to the House, and 2 decades later, she's still a member. She says when her father served, there was a lot of ignorance about Latinos in Washington.
Quite frankly, most members of Congress didn't even know what a Hispanic or a Latino was. They only thought of them in terms of foreigners.
How times have changed. Concord jets are gone, and Apple is growing. As for phone booths, the 31 incoming Latino Congress members wouldn't fit.
My colleagues are much more attentive and interested in learning about Latinos and their particular needs because now they have, for the first time in many cases, constituents who are Latino.
1 in 10 voters in the presidential election was Latino. Come January, California will send 9 Latinos to the House of Representatives. That's the most ever in the history of the Golden State and of any state nationwide. Michael Minta, who teaches political science at the University of Missouri, says that's important because there's strength in numbers. But we shouldn't expect a rash of bills sponsored by Latinos.
It's more about participating in the debate and also helping shape the agenda and also keeping things that are detrimental to, say, the Latino community off the agenda.
Roybal Allard says lifting up Latinos lifts up everyone.
Latino or Asian or African American, European American needs to have the opportunity to realize the American dream. It cannot happen if policies only impact 1 or 2 groups, because then everybody else suffers and brings the country down.
Latinos' big hope next year is for immigration reform. Jobs, the economy, health care, and education are also atop the agenda. Alex Padilla is the president of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials. He says Latino legislators have a broader range of priorities than ever.
In the past, Hispanic representatives have sort of been relegated to issues of bilingual education or immigration, and those are important, don't get me wrong. But we have the background of newly elected Hispanic representatives is increasingly diverse, increasingly sophisticated, and so will their service be in the United States Congress.
Tony Cardenas is one of the new congressmen. He's the first Latino ever elected to the U.S. House of Representatives from the San Fernando Valley, just north of Los Angeles. Cardenas' parents immigrated from Mexico. He studied at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and served in the State Assembly and on the Los Angeles City Council. Redistricting helped him win this year by grouping together the Valley's Latinos.
I'm very proud to say that through the fact that I look like about 70% of my district, for the first time, we have young people saying, well, gosh, he looks like my uncle, or he looks like my dad or my brother. And, well, if he can do it, then I can do it.
Minta, the political science professor, agrees. He says the new crop of Latinos hasn't even taken office yet, but they're already inspiring the Latino community.
They can look at those legislators and say, hey, I can run for Congress and actually win, or I could be a U.S. senator, or I could be president.
Nevertheless, while some Latinos may feel a new calling, and the contingent in Congress has outgrown a telephone booth, the record number of Latino Congress members still lags behind their share of the population. Lisa Garcia Bedoya is a professor of political science at UC Berkeley.
For some perspective, for Latinos to be at parity to their population in the Congress, they would have 86 members. Right now, we've got 31 in both houses.
It takes 218 votes to pass a bill in the House. Bedoya says at this point, Latinos' biggest influence will be their power of persuasion. For the California Report, I'm Amy Isaacson in San Diego.
Debris from last year's Japan tsunami is still drifting toward the California coast, and researchers are looking for citizen scientists to help track and catalog it. And KQED's science editor Craig Miller says, yes, there's an app for that.
It's called Coastbuster and enables anybody with a smartphone to report potential remnants from the March 2011 tsunami as they arrive.
People who normally walk the beaches kind of know what's there and what's new, and I have confidence in our citizen scientists to kind of do a good job.
That's Kate Moran, president of Ocean Networks Canada, which announced the app at a major science meeting in San Francisco. Moran says a team of experts will sift through the uploads and sort out likely tsunami debris from random flotsam.
And then those data are used by people to either get the resources to clean it up or identify things like invasive species so that they can be addressed immediately, and basically getting the information to help us deal with this impact that we really don't yet know the size of.
The main body of debris is expected to wash ashore anytime between now and the spring. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
Authorities in Mexico are saying there are no survivors of the crash of a small plane believed to be carrying Mexican-American singer Jenny Rivera. The 43-year-old Long Beach native was traveling with her entourage, and it's believed she died when the plane crashed in mountainous terrain shortly after takeoff early Sunday morning near Monterrey, Mexico. Rivera released her first studio album at the age of 34. She is the top-grossing female artist in Mexico and has sold over 15 million albums worldwide. Rivera is also executive producer of several reality shows that focus on her and her family. The Sacramento Bee is reporting that former California Assemblywoman Barbara Albee has died at the age of 66. Albee represented Carmichael in the 5th Assembly District for 6 years after winning a special election in 1993. In that time, she sponsored legislation creating the Child Molester Hotline and Megan's Law, which makes information on registered sex offenders public. Albee said she got into politics when then-Governor Ronald Reagan cut her welfare benefits when she was a single mom. No cause of death for Barbara Albee has been released. That's the California Report for Monday, December 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Paul Lancour. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com.